You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, June 3rd, episode 3445, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
You have found Horses in the Morning on a Monday. You're in for an amazing horsey week of laughter, learning, and fun with Glenn and Jamie.
Oh, this is a day Jamie's been waiting for anxiously, and I've been torturing her because I haven't sent her the results yet. Krista's going to join us. She's the founder and CEO of Etalon Diagnostics, and she's going to reveal Taco Tuesday's DNA profile.
Woo!
I had you do a guess, and we'll do that when Krista gets on a little later. I had you do a guess on what breeds he was derived from.
And I've done one of them, and you have to pick three breeds. I don't know how this one works, but I went ahead and picked three that I think are in there. So we'll see.
I'll give you a tiny clue. There's more than three. He's truly a mutt. I assumed
he had more than three, my friend. But usually you pick the top three. Yeah,
we'll see if you're close. And I had the auditors pick too, so we'll see who gets closest. Let me just say, I was absolutely wrong on all counts.
Okay.
So, we have also some equine news from around the world and your equestrian first world problems. We'll do a short post show for you as well. So what was it that you almost accidentally bought the other day at the chicken auction? Some kind of lizard, right?
I was trying to flag down my friend in my seats. I had found us seats and I was like, I'm here. And I bid $350 on an iguana.
Well, it seems to me like with all the stuff you're buying for your farm, you're really trying to make a zoo. And I can help you out. And the name is appropriate too, where it's located. There's one for sale. You can do it all in one shot. You don't have to buy the animals individually.
You're so helpful. Tell me about your plan.
It's the Zootastic Park, and that's near Lake Norman in North Carolina. Ironic, huh? It's up for sale, and not only does it include the 186-acre property, but it includes all the animals and the gift shop and the concessions. And the concessions and the animal excursions and the whole thing. So it's a walk-around zoo, but it also has a drive-through part that you can do. By the way, there's a three-page list of the creatures that are included in the listing.
I want it!
Do you want to hear what some of the creatures are?
Is there a sloth?
I don't know about a sloth, but there is something else you've always wanted.
A giraffe.
No. The kookaburra. Kookaburra. That's the big rat-like thing.
Okay.
How about lions, tigers, monkeys, bears, giraffes, goats, donkeys, birds, panthers, reptiles, camels, peacocks, zebras, deer, water buffalo, wolves, and farm animals?
Okay, well, some of those would have to go and some of them would have to come in my house.
Now, the only problem if you do want to buy this place is that you have to have a special permit to run a zoo from the USDA, which means you have to be a qualified zookeeper. And I think there's actually like a certification for that.
We've all seen the movie, Glenn. We know how this works. You're going to have to like get a bunch of money and go to Home Depot all the time. Yeah, and then you have to have a grand opening like the Rosemore Park, you know, and like with Matt Damon did this. We can do it.
Now, the guy 66 that runs this. Oh, by the way, there's a second one, too. I'll tell you about that one in a minute. But the guy 66 that runs this, and he said he wants to retire. He wants out of it. Now, I did dig a little further and found some articles from recent years where he's gotten in some trouble from the USDA for some violations on the property. No. And I kind of wonder if he's just saying, screw this, I'm out. So $16 million is what you can buy that
for. Ooh, it's like it's free.
Also, he is also selling his second park, which is the Aloha Safari Park, and that's near Fayetteville, North Carolina. It's similar to Zootastic, except it's one of those all drive-through one. It's 66 acres, and you can buy that for a mere $4.5 million.
What animals are at the Aloha
park? I think it's similar kind of animals, you know, the kind you see, like the giraffes and the wildebeests and all that kind
that
of stuff.
That is a strange name for a safari park.
In North Carolina.
In North Carolina.
I agree with you there. I'm not arguing that.
Like Hawaii is not known for its diverse animal population.
No, and they prefer it that way.
Yeah.
So there you go. You know, we've often talked about getting together with the auditors and buying a farm. Here we could buy a whole zoo.
We bought a zoo.
But somebody has go to school and learn how to be a zookeeper, and I'm not volunteering for that. So just sounds like a lot of hassle.
We probably have a listener who's a zookeeper.
We probably do, actually.
We just need $16 million. That's kind of the problem.
Yeah, and you know, if you're going to buy one, you'd want to buy both, right? I mean,
obviously.
Yeah, so, you know, $20 million, we can have them both. I think he wants out really bad.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's do some Daily Winnies. I have multiple auditor birthdays going on today. Cameron Sabalovic, Mogi Bearden Muller. By the way, that's Rich Muller's wife who does the Horse Husbands episode with me.
No. That is Mogi. Rich Muller is Mogi's husband.
Oh, sorry.
Get it right.
I got that wrong.
Get it right.
Jordan Manfredi and my old friend Chantel, who I used to work at Bit of Britain with. So happy birthday to all of you. Also, want to give a second Daily Winnie out to the police department in Templeton, Massachusetts. Apparently, of course, this always happens at night, there was a call about a fire at a farm in Massachusetts, and the police officer arrived, and apparently the people who lived in the house weren't on odd up. So he got the people up, and they ran into the burning barn and saved all six horses that were in the barn.
Wow.
The police officer, too. I mean, give him credit. And there were 21 horses at the facility. I saw a video of this barn. It was enormous. It was a big training facility. The whole barn went up. I mean, it was like an 8-alarm fire, but they got all the animals out thanks to the police department who showed up first. Apparently, it was a little bit of time till the fire department showed up, and they had gotten all the animals out by then. And the other thing that happened is the community really came together. Multiple trailers showed up. They took the horses to other facilities, and there's a lot of help being given to the people who lost their farm. So that my Daily Winnie goes out to the police officer who did what he had to do.
He didn't have to do that. That's above
and true.
Beyond.
Yes, you're right. Exactly.
My Daily Winnie goes out to dear sweet Colette. Colette Gray competed in her first CDE this weekend. And she drove her first ever marathon course. CDE, tell everybody what the CDE
is.
Like it's
the eventing version.
All of it.
That's like the driving version of eventing. They do dressage. They do obstacle course, like they called marathon. It's kind of like doing cross country. And then they do cones. They do have to drive through cones for speed.
Well, she's very young. I don't know how old she is, but she's
like, I don't know, 10?
She's way smaller and braver than I am, is what it boils down to. And her inner mare, Victoria, completed it. So congratulations, Colette.
Yay. And you know what? Apparently, Victoria's 21 year old and has no front teeth, so her tongue is always hanging out.
You see the picture. She's like, I love it.
But good for her. She's braver than I am. I was never brave enough to do that. So good for her. Belmont this weekend. And, you know, the big headlines, of course, is that Seize the Gray's in there, Mystic Dan's in there, Sierra Leone's in there. Sierra Leone, by the way, is 3-1, is the favorite, believe it or not. And I read a bunch of articles on this morning, and I was really surprised about how they were talking about Sierra Leone, they were talking about Mystic Dan, and very little conversation about Seize the Gray at all. Like, he never won the Preakness. It's so weird.
They're stupid.
I don't know.
They don't know what's going on here. It's the best kept secret for all of us bettors.
Now, there's a new one that has come in as one of the favorites, too, and apparently is being talked about a lot, and his name is Mind Frame. So MindFrame is one of the ones they're talking about. Antiquarian is another one they're talking about. But there's total 12 horses in this race. So we'll see if
Toucan Gold. Toucan Gold.
Yeah. Isn't that the one you bet on too, right?
Yeah, but his name is Tuscan Gold, but you pronounced it incorrectly as Toucan Gold. So now it's my favorite.
Maybe it'd be better if it was Toucan Gold. So bet on him, by the way. He's 20-1. If you're betting on Seize the Gray this time, you're not going to make as much money as you did in the Preakness.
I don't know, man. You can't argue with a Seize the Gray, Mystic Jan, Sierra Leone trifecta.
It'll probably pay $29 for a trifecta, but you know,
you owe money after that trifecta.
Although Mystic Dan's at 12-1 right now. So who knows? And you got to remember, this is not being held it's not being held where it usually is held. It's being at Belmar Park. It's being held at Saratoga Racecourse. And it's been dropped to a mile and a quarter because
now why is that?
Belmont's under a major renovation. They're completely redoing the place.
Oh, wow.
So they had to move it for 2 years because of the renovation. So apparently they're really redoing the place.
And it's a different, it's not a mile and a half anymore. It's a mile and a quarter, which I don't know why they did that either. Do you know why?
I don't know. You would think at Saratoga they'd be able to race a mile and a half. You can race a mile and a quarter, you can race a mile and a half, right?
Keep running.
I don't know. I don't know why. But the stakes are $2 million. That's up from $1.5 million last year. So we'll see what happens. I think the shorter distance, Seize the Gray, is in Seize the Gray's favor. I think the longer distance, he might have faded. But who knows? He likes to go out in front. We'll see what happens.
He likes the mud, too, I think. So yeah. Let's go.
Hey, I did have a listener email and ask about where you got your flooring. And I got to tell you, it was Worm Flooring. That's where she got her flooring for her horse trailer. It's Worm Flooring, but they also do trailer roofs. Leaky roofs are a common problem in horse trailers and RV. Worm Flooring's revolutionary silicone-based coating creates a barrier against heat and wet. It seals your roof to stop leaks before they start, and it reflects back 90% of the UV rays, keeping your trailer much, much cooler on a hot day. So ditch the duct tape and the buckets. Invest in long-lasting peace of mind with Seal and Chill. It's applied by pros for a flawless finish, and it's only $7.50 per square foot. That's a steal for cooler, drier, happier trailer or RV, which means happier horses and happier people.
I've been hearing a lot of stuff about people's trailer, like RVs leaking. Like it's like a big problem, apparently.
It's a huge problem with RVs because they make them like crap now. So, yeah. I mean, you need to do all you can to preserve it. And once you have a leak in your RV's done. I mean,
you're going to get it on top mold. Of your double wide?
Mold. Yeah, that's what we need. Head on over to wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you. And yes, they do the floors as well. And I think, Jamie, you're still happy with yours, right?
I love it so much.
Yeah, there you go.
I love my Worm Floor and my trailer. It stands for We Eliminate Rubber Mats.
So, Germany. Did you see this news out of Germany, by the way, about them changing the rules and when you're allowed to train horses?
No.
So the German federal animal welfare law now says that any horses under the age of 30 months are no longer eligible to start training or be used for competition. Now, two-year-old racehorses are currently exempt, providing they undergo two veterinary assessments. So now there's a lot of, as you can imagine, they convened a whole council about this. The FEI has been involved. There's a lot of talk about it. And one of the things I wasn't able to determine, I read a bunch of articles, is it almost sounds like in the articles you read, when they mean you can't start training, that means you don't do anything with this horse for 18 months or 30 months, rather. So, you know, that was the problem is, and even Sir Mark Todd said, hey, look, you know, we work with these horses. We educate them when they're younger. We get them used to halters, to picking their feet, to, you know, handling them and doing all of that stuff. Does that count as training? And apparently a lot of the riders are taking it, the law to say that counts as training. We both believe that maybe you shouldn't be racing them at 2 years old, but that doesn't mean you can't be working with them on the hand, take them for walks, do whatever. Don't be riding them in barrel races at two.
Okay. Well, I agree that sometimes maybe putting a rider on a three-year-old warm blood is not a great idea. It's really not their business to tell me what I can and can't do with my horse. You know, if I want to long line my horse when it's two, I think I should be able to do that. But you can't tell me what I can and can do with the development of my own equines.
Well, apparently, I mean, from what I read, you're not even gentling them. You're not doing any training with them.
So you just have to leave them feral to, like...
That's been the concern is what... And first of all, how do they enforce it? That's the other thing. They can say you can't go to a competition. I get that, all right? So I get for 30 months, which is what, 2.5 years, right? So you can't go to a competition for till they're 2.5. Fine. And by the way, this is from their birth date, not that made-up date that the thoroughbreds do. So I get that, but to train them, to do no training at all for 2.5 years?
Mm. Ooh, that would be tough.
Yeah.
That would be tough.
I know. Well, you know what horses are like when they sit around and do nothing for 2.5 years. You get plenty of them to come in with that. Those are the easy ones, right, Jamie? Those are the ones you so enjoy that haven't been touched in 2.5 years.
Yeah, they're really fun. They're really, and that's the whole thing too. Like if you don't work with them at all, then it's going to take a more special individual to look after, to start their training because they're the added fun of being wild. Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, it sounds like one of those things where this was a law that probably if it was written correctly would be great. But they went overboard, wrote it wrong, and probably somebody that knew nothing about horses wrote it. And it was probably thanks to the animal welfare people that it was written this way, and they just did it. Now, there's a lot of controversy about it, and I think that there some of it might be rescinded or at least clarified. And I think it's interesting that they did this with sport horses, warm bloods, and all that, but exempted thoroughbreds because guess what makes money?
Yeah, exactly.
So I thought that was interesting, too. Also, the Olympic schedule has been posted. The Times, I'll put a link to it in our show notes if you want to go find it. NBC is carrying it again this year. And they did carry a lot of the horse stuff last time, most of the horse stuff last time. And, of course, the horse stuff is being held at the gardens at the Palace of Versailles, if you're in Kentucky.
Oh, God.
So the Palace of Versailles... And, of course, it starts July the 26th. We're only about 2 months away, and that's the opening ceremony. Eventing is first. That'll be happening the first several days. And then, of course, dressage happens, and then jumping is last. But it runs from Friday the 26th of July to August the 6th is when the individual final is for jumping. And I'll post that schedule in our show notes. We do have some people that we know are going.
Not going. Did you hear who's not going?
No.
For sure.
No.
Tammy Smith and my bum are out.
What happened?
So I guess before Kentucky, remember he had what they call a setback. And I guess they're saying he's better from that, but they don't have enough time to prepare and condition him to be in top team form. I guess they have a mandatory outing in a few weeks that is kind of like their final selection kind of thing. And they decided to just keep him home, that he's not going to be fit enough to do that. And that they said they have his best interest at heart and will be back competing him in the fall.
Do we know who was filling in or haven't we determined that yet?
I don't have a list of the people that are competing in a few weeks at this mandatory outing. I don't know, but I do know that my bum and Tammy Smith will not be there. And there is nobody who is more in it for the horse than her. So I mean, if your horse can't do it, your horse can't do it. But like, she's like, no, I want to set him up better for the future. Cause he's not young anymore. He's like 16. So yeah.
So sad. You work your whole career to get to one horse that'll get you to the Olympics. And a lot of people, they have one in their whole career. I mean, there's others like the Boyd Martins of the world who are there every time, but most people have one shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not only do you have to be healthy, but your horse there's two things that have to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're
I can't get a capable horse sound to jump a dang cross rail. I mean, my God.
So anyway, we'll post that, and of course, we'll have all excitement. We know some people that are going, and they're going to give us Diane DeRosa's going. I did talk to Sally from Eventing Nation. She has her press credentials, so she's going, so we'll be able to get some reports from over there as it's happening as well here on the show.
I cut you off, though. You were going to list the people who were going.
I know I wasn't. I just said that we have the schedule up.
Okay.
Most of the teams don't have their final decisions yet, which is crazy.
No, of course not. No.
Yeah. It's crazy that you're 2 months out and you're You don't know for sure.
It's horses.
I know.
They're going to screw things up. You can't have a plan. Don't fall in love with it, Glenn. That's kind of how it's going.
Well, that is true, especially with anything involving horses.
Well, before we get to our first guest, which I'm really excited about, let's talk about Purina. There's more talk than ever about the importance of probiotics in equine health, but not all probiotics are created equal. New Purina systemic supplement remains live and active after the pelleting process and throughout the digestive system, making it all the way to the hind gut. It was designed to support normal recovery after exercise and occasional gastrointestinal stress. Whether you're using a probiotic now or not, it's time to use a live and active supplement from a name that you trust. New Purina Systemic Probiotic.
Well, hi, Krista. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I love you guys. This is so much fun. I love doing these with you guys.
We love having you on, too. And Jamie's been, she's been bugging me for a month and a half for these results. And I'll have you know, I'm not good at keeping secrets, but I kept this one, damn it. I did. So, Jamie, remind everybody for new listeners and for Krista's benefit where this pony came from and what the deal was.
Okay, so... Gosh, I just... I said that I wanted a 14-2 hand gelding that was a Western horse that had been like doing Western jobs. And I was going to take it and see if I like buy one, see if I could make it into like a little hunter pony. Well, then my friends were like, hey, I saw this horse advertised on Oklahoma Horses Facebook page.
What could go wrong?
I mean, what could possibly go wrong? And so they sent me the videos, and once I saw the videos, I was like, oh God, he needs me, like, without a doubt. So he was being ridden by a ginormous human, and they said, yes, he's 14-2, he's 8 years old, he kind of fit every parameter that I was looking for. And so I was like, fine, just bring him to me, I'll pay you to deliver him, sight unseen. I could see he was sound. I was like, he just needs some help. They bring him, they unload him, and I'm like, what is that? And they're like, it's the horse you bought. And I'm like, no, this is a pony. So what I thought was 14-2, it gets close to 13-3. Now he is technically, as like teeth wise, it says he's 8. He is a gelding. He is a pinto. He's all the things I wanted, but he definitely had a lot of trauma. We had him read by a psychic on here, Krista. Like he's had, yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Because it's great. Like his behavior is difficult because he was treated very, what we think is very unfairly. So he's been quite the challenge. It wasn't just this one working pony that I just thought I'd just get on and flip around to be a hunter jumper. No. We've had to work a lot on his demeanor and attitude. And the psychic said that in the breaking, because he's got this weird scar on his neck, and the psychic said that he had been roped and tied down and they crushed his windpipe is what the psychic said. And the psychic also said he was lame on his right hind, and then I took him to an osteopath and that was actually true. So there's so much drama associated with this darn pony. And when I got him, he had been working a cattle auction sale barn is what they said. And I was like, well, where did you get him? They're like, well, we've only had him 2 weeks. We traded a mule for him. Okay. And this is like southeastern
Oklahoma.
Is that Oklahoma
or what?
Southeastern Oklahoma. We traded a mule for this thing. And yeah, so it wasn't quite exactly what I thought. But again, he's pretty cool. And I've even said, like, if I would have gone to see him, I'd have bought him anyway.
Oh, you would have taken him home in
2 minutes.
Yeah,
I would have bought him anyway. So it's not like it was the worst thing that's happened. But he had cuts on his mouth from the harsh bit. Like, it was just all these awful things. But I have no idea what he is because he's a paint, but he's 13-2, 13-3. And then he's also like half a blue eye. He's like half of one eye is blue. So there's that. But he's also cool. Like... kind of like a refined looking thing. So he's not real bulky, like a pony, you know, how they kind of get round and chunky.
Like mine.
He's not that. Like, he's kind of a fine boned. I don't know. He's lots of things.
All
so
right, Krista,
what is he?
So Krista, I had Jamie text me this morning what her guesses were as to the ancestry. Okay. And the first guess was Indian pony, Barb, Arabian, and Quarter Horse. So, and I also had our listeners guess, and we got like dozens of answers, and they were all over the place. I mean, really all over the place. But there were some listeners, I think, that were closer than Jamie was. So, so do you want to give us the results?
Sure, sure. So this is sort of funny. I'm happy to do that. Normally, what we do for a reveal like this is we're kind of, well, we're horse people, right? So we're total gluttons for punishment. So I know nothing about the horse. I have not even looked at the DNA profile until the phone rang this morning. And it's funny because what I'm going to tell you is going to echo what you've probably already said in a lot of ways. And then there'd be some kind of fun things in there. So yes. Okay. So I'll get right to the point. We know he's a buckskin Tobiano. That's easy.
What?
Right? He's buckskin Tobiano.
Is he really? Okay, I couldn't decide because he was really dark when he came, but he's really started to like lighten up.
Yeah, so spots. I'm not going to bother decoding that. You all know what that means. You know, he's a bay with one copy of Cream and one copy of Tobiano, so he's a buckskin Tobiano.
So I didn't know that. See, that's good to know because I'm like, what brown is that? Buckskin Tobiano. There's nothing he's boring about any of this.
Buckskin? No, he's fancy. And now here's the other crazy thing. He has kind of an unusual gene that we've recently started offering because it was sort of in the research. He has a gene called H2. We call it H2, height 2. And what that means is he has one copy. If he was standing next to a full-bred sibling, he should be one hand shorter, at least up to one hand shorter than
that
his full-bred
sense,
sibling.
Doesn't it, with him?
It's crazy, right? Because you don't see this very often in combination with the ancestry I'm seeing. So that sort of
so
set
he
me back
was the butt of the runt of the litter.
Well, runt is a subjective word. He likes to think of it as vertically challenged.
Basically, he should be a hand taller.
Yeah, up to a hand taller. If he did not have that gene, the studies show he would be taller.
So the guy that sold him to you, he already knew this.
Kind of right. He should be 14.
Well, I don't know. What I can also tell you, since you guys tested him and since we're doing this reveal thing, is that I don't have any matching horses to him in the database. So we've not tested this horse before. Whoever had him, I don't know if there's probably no way they knew about that.
This
gene,
guy did not do
because
that.
I think we're the one who's offering it. No. So
no,
then
they
the
didn't
other
know.
Thing is, there's two other things. I'll say other thing, but there's always more other things. His myostatin, he's got a copy of Sprint and a copy of Endurance, which is also fairly unusual in certain breeds. In some breeds, it doesn't exist at all. And one other horse you might know had it, Secretariat.
Wait, and shut up. Wait, what?
California Chrome. Yeah, California Chrome, Arrogate, a few of these top racehorses. They all had one copy of Sprint for short distance burst speed and one copy of Endurance to cover the long races.
So he's got the same genes as California Chrome and Secretariat.
He's got that variant combination, like some of those top race horses. And we're also seeing that combination, some of the top reiners and some of the top show jumpers. And it's pretty unusual for the population. So let's say somebody told you this was a quarter horse. Chances of him having that are probably less than 5%.
Wow.
And I might be exaggerating a little bit because we haven't run the numbers for that particular combination, but more than 90% of quarter horses are sprint type. That means they're built to go 0 to 60 very quickly, and then they're done, right? And if you look at conversely, Arabian horses are almost all endurance type. They're not that quick 0 to 60, even if it seems like it when they're running over you. But they can go for miles and miles across the desert without needing to be refueled or rested. And he has one of each of those. And
that's
pretty uncommon. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then his temperament.
Oh, Lord.
So he has one copy of Curiosity and one copy of Vigilance. And people who have had these animals since they were foals and raised them in the same place as all the others, they call these animals clever, engaging, and the word more is often used. They're choosy about what they like and don't like. And even if they're well-adapted, they tend to be a little bit passive-aggressive. Like, you're my mom. We'll do whatever you want. But you handed the reins over to this schmuck over here, and I'm just going to smash my shoulder into him and see what he does with that.
So I didn't know that DNA would give you indications as far as behavior and personality too. That's so interesting.
Is it
absolutely
is it remotely
that same
right?
gene?
Is it right? Yeah,
well,
Jamie, is that his attitude?
He is very clever. He is very engaging, yes, but he is also very opinionated. Like this whole the whole fly spray thing. Dear God, you.
What's wrong with fly spray?
It's obviously acid I'm putting on his skin. I mean,
oh, you're trying to kill him?
I'm trying to kill him with fly spray. I can hose him off. I can spray him. I can do anything. But dear God, I mean, we've been working on fly spray for like a month. And but that's that kind of that's your choosy kind of behavior that you're talking about. Whereas like the hose is okay. That bottle's not okay. That's not okay.
I'm just no, that's not happening. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
Give him time. If you're his person and he has this genotype, what people report to us is when they buy into someone, they really buy in. And maybe in the future, you'll be able to fly spray him, but no one else.
Okay. Well, if he can do that sooner than later, then, I know, right? I've got a little girl in mind for him. She's going to have to come get him before he loves me.
Well, she's going to have to go and pass the test. He's going to decide. And I think you might see that if he sees a lot of people, you might see him decide. Yes, you, not you. We'll see if that's true.
Yeah, he doesn't like my assistant
at all. It works for dogs and it works for humans as well. And in dogs, the vigilant type equates to aggression. And in humans, equates to thrill seeking. You know, those people who aren't so good with other people, but they're like climbing mountaintops and jumping out of planes.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Who knew that genes would allow you to look at all this stuff?
I had no idea.
Oh, DNA is crazy. The number of things we can see in there is just unbelievable. But the problem with it is that the studies for horses are done in smaller groups. And often the papers are written in a way that's kind of, you know, Greek. And by Greek, I don't mean anything bad about Greek people, but I can't read or speak Greek. Right. So that doesn't help me. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is we need to see what those genes do in like thousands of horses. And we wouldn't know if we didn't ask the horse people. So that's what we're doing.
Okay.
And you get feedback because you do the results and then get feedback later from them.
It's correct? Really, really, really important. That's part of the reason we offer the consult with every test. Not because, you know, genetics is really hard to understand, because it is. But also because it's an interactive process. As we're researching this, us horsey, nerdy people in the lab, we have a sample. We know it says this in the genetics, but we don't know if it's real until you tell us it's real or not real.
Hmm. So interesting. All right, let's get to the other page.
You and your ancestry,
yes,
man. Okay, we're doing this. All right, so ancestry, before I start this, what did you get out of looking at this? Ancestry is not easy to understand.
I got when I looked at it, I don't know if Jamie's looked at it yet, but when I looked at it, I said, geez, this is all over the place.
It is.
Yes. We're like, yes. We're really all over the place.
Yeah. I looked at this. I'm like, what is this? What is this animal?
So what is he?
Okay. Well, that is a good question. First thing I'm going to tell you, anybody who tells you they have a horse breed test that they can do via DNA, it's highly unlikely that that's entirely true. And here's why. If you can tell in horses, they are highly, highly inbred to start, right? They all came from a small population. That's the story. And certain horses have been bred in a closed stud book for hundreds of years. And that means they are purebred, right? Or they are truebred, and whatever you want to call it. It means they have a very limited genetic content. And so their genetic signatures are very similar. And you can tell that they are a breed, but there are very few of those. Thoroughbreds, Arabians, and a couple of other really random, you know, like Exmoors and those kind of animals. Those are animals you can see in the genetics what they are by looking at their genetic content, because it's so limited that it will be super similar and easy to make a call. Everyone else is a mutt. Sorry. That's how this works. If someone tells you they can tell a Hanoverian from an Oldenburg, that's just not true. It's just not true. And that is an unfortunate thing that we have to explain to folks. But what we're trying to do instead of worrying about purebred, because if any one of you have watched Game of Thrones, you know that's not necessarily a good thing. what you want to do is look at the genetic content on a global perspective, meaning where did you get your gene pool from? Did you get it from Central Europe, in which case you're hairier and bigger and more drafty? Did you get it from the Near East, in which case you're lighter, more adept to hot weather, you're a little smaller, more refined, and maybe a little bit quicker and need less water? Did you get it from England, in which case you're largely thoroughbred because that's where thoroughbreds were kept and bred? Or did you get it from where we call affectionately the short and fuzzy group? Those are the northmost European islands, Shetlands, Icelandics, that kind of thing. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
So what we do see when we look at these maps of horses, we see in your horse, you've got about 35% thoroughbred overlap. That doesn't mean one third of the parent was a thoroughbred. It means the genetic content that your horse's parents had shared with thoroughbreds by about 38%. It could mean that whoever started thoroughbreds, the grandsire's grandsire's grandsire was also a grandsire's grandsire's grandsire of your horse or one of your horses. Right, they shared genetic
what
content.
I'm hearing is he's, like, he's a direct descendant of Secretariat, because that's what I'm hearing. That's just beginning. It's the same DNA. He's a direct descendant. I think you can put that on a stall plaque.
Give him LASIK. Get him right there on the track right now.
Oh, we're ready.
You got this.
We're ready.
You can do it. Yeah.
Okay, so 35% thoroughbred.
Uh-huh. And then you've got about 10% Iberian, right? Think Andalusian, think Lusitano. Think PRE, animals that came out of that region. Now, of course, Iberian is a specific region. And if I say Lusitanos and Andalusians in the same bucket, I'm going to get beaten and burned. So we all know that they're not the same. It's okay. But the region has a lot of overlap. So yes, their genetics are sort of lumped in. That's sort of that kind of maize yellow. And then Near East, Arabians, Caspians, animals that were bred in the Near East. We're talking like the UAE and those kinds of places, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have some carriage horse. Now, carriage horse is a term we struggle to come up with because it's animals that were bred in the New World for pulling carriages, standard breds, French trotters, saddlebreds, right? We all know that look and that type of horse. And they overlap so closely. And what do they all do? What do they all have in common? They were bred for carriages, basically. Showing off and looking really cool and having a really neat stride.
It's interesting.
Chinese and yeah.
It's interesting because some of our listeners put standardbred in there, which I thought was kind of off the wall, but kind of makes sense now. Yeah.
There's a decent chunk in there of carriage horse. Yeah. You know, 18% is definitely significant. I mean, it's the second largest content in there after thoroughbred. So
now
that makes sense.
European heavy horses in there. Is that, you know, all the drafty breeds, including the pony drafts? And
well, the pony would be the green.
Okay.
And the larger draft would be the purple.
Okay. So that's in there, so too.
10.8 is North Sea. That's the pony breeds?
Yep. That's like Shetland. That's like Icelandic. Those kinds of animals. Short, hardy, furry feet. Pain in the butt.
Thank God it's only got 10%.
Okay, so let's see. So when we look at that, it gives us a little bit of a clue about your animal, but that's really not enough to make sense. So what we did was we developed these algorithms. And one of the favorite algorithms on a mystery horse is the horses like me results. And what it does is it compares your horse, Taco Tuesday, to the top five horses in our database that come closest to his composition. And that does not mean they're closely related. It means they're similar in genetic content. And what we find sometimes is kind of startling. Let's say if I had a mystery quarter horse and we ran the DNA and the top five horses all came up as cutting horses, the chances of that animal being a cutting horse are startlingly high. So what's interesting about this is, again, purebred isn't really a thing in modern day horses. Even if you have two purebred quarter horses and they're both registered quarter horses and they come from long lines of quarter horses, if they are a cutting horse versus a reining horse versus a Western pleasure, their genetic content is completely different and they will match with completely different horses.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? So it separates by discipline quite a bit, which makes sense if you think about it. You know that if you bred a quarter horse for Western pleasure, it's going to look different than a horse that is a cutting horse.
You're not going to breed it to a reining horse. Yeah. To get a...
Right.
Okay.
It's a totally different look. And these are facts we all know somewhere in the back of our brains, but we've been taught to believe a purebred is a purebred and they're all the same. And that's just not true. Sorry. Okay. So Taco Tuesday has a very interesting match top five. Paint horse, no shock there. Quarter horse, quarter horse, quarter horse, quarter horse.
Really?
Now, the match is only 75%, which is roughly an indication. If we look at all of our quarter horse results, it probably means this horse is at least half quarter or paint horse with probably something else in there. I'm going to say half, and I'll put a pin in that for a minute, and I'll tell you why when we go down the results here. Funsies, Celebrity Horse Like Me, closest match, Winding Inferno, which is a pretty freaking cool horse.
Okay, I'm going to Google him.
He's neato.
Okay.
But again, these are not relatives. These are horses that are similar in genetic composition. And 75% means, no, they're close. But if they were like 78 to 80, then you start to get into really, really close, you know, really getting refined. And once you cross the 80%, now you're into, we're the same discipline and possibly closely related in the quarter horse. So the next algorithm we'll look at is Find My Herd. These horses are related to your horse. Now, in the case of Taco Tuesday, we only found third-degree relatives, and about four of them. And they were also really weird. American Paint Horse, another paint horse, just paint, doesn't say American Paint Horse, so it could be anything with markings on it. Someone else reported Draft Cross, Quarter Horse Cross. Uh-oh. And then the other one is Clydesdale Thoroughbred. That's the lowest one on the group. So you've got some really interesting mixes. And here's why I'm excited about that instead of crying on the floor in the corner. if we skip down to the PCA analysis, that's the Ancestry Population Comparison Chart. PCA means Principal Component Analysis. This is where we're getting kind of nerdy. Sorry, it's what we do.
Love it.
You're going to see a square. And the square, loosely, think of it as the representation of all horse genetics. And then you're going to see all these dots all over the square. Each of these dots represents what we call a reference horse, an animal that is quote-unquote purebred and labeled Connemara, labeled Peruvian Paso, labeled Norwegian Fjord, whatever it is. When you mouse over each of those dots, you're going to see the breed that it supposedly is. Right. And this did not come strictly from Edelon. This came from a foundational study, multiple equine geneticists. They mapped horses around the world and their genetic content. And you're going to see Taco Tuesday is in there somewhere. Now, to figure out what Taco Tuesday is, this is where it gets fun. You can figure out who his people are, what horses are around him. If I click on Warm Blood, there is some Warm Bloods around that area, but not quite where he is. If I click on Clydesdale, not even close. Mm-hmm. Clydesdales are way down in the corner, far, far away from him. If I click on Thoroughbred, a little closer, but still fairly in between those two, wouldn't you say? Closer to Thoroughbred.
Okay.
But then I start to click on Quarter Horse. Oh, we're getting closer.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm going to take a wild guess here. Let's look at Lusitano. It's kind of off to the side. Let's look at Miniature. No way. Let's look at Mustang. Oh, so it's an interesting crossover between Quarter Horse and Mustang. And Taco Tuesday is kind of right in the middle, north of the Mustangs and south of the Quarter Horses. So that could be an option. But okay, here's where we know a little bit more about this horse. take a look down at the bottom where it says genomic inbreeding value.
Okay.
That number is actually a negative number for this horse, which means it is outside of the average, which means this horse is not at all inbred. Congratulations. That's like party boarding. You don't want inbreeding. Inbreeding is bad, no matter what anybody tells you. I know. If it works, it's line breeding. If it doesn't, it's inbreeding. I know. I've heard that story. But to give you a measurement and an idea, most quarter horses are somewhere between 6 and 8% inbred. And that's a reasonable, decent, healthy region to be in. Your horse is negative 0.5.
Okay.
Not so inbred. To give you another point of reference, thoroughbreds are usually upwards of 20%. We see a lot of Arabians upwards of 30%. That's very, very, very high. This horse is outcrossed.
Yeah, because he's a little bit of everything. I mean, my God, you couldn't inbreed him because he's 900 breeds.
he's way outcrossed. And he has that little funky H2 marker.
To make him short.
Which is not that common. We've seen it in gypsies. We've seen it in some ponies. But we certainly haven't seen it in too many quarter horses or paint horses. So, I don't know what this horse is. But I'm going to go with...
Jamie doesn't either, actually.
This is going to be a hard one. Unless one of his relatives tests. If one of his relatives' parents, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandsire, grandparents, they'll pop up on his ancestry under Find My Herd. And we can get a little bit more of a clue if they happen to have closer matches with other animals in here that are quote unquote a breed, right? But I'm going to go with at least half quarter horse.
Okay. And then from what I've been writing things down, it sounds like to me the other half is Mustang, which is a little, you know, Mustangs are a little bit of everything too, especially the Iberian, the Thoroughbred, Arabian, Carrator, Shetland, like kind of like amalgamation of all the breeds that came over. And from what you had said, quarter horse Mustang or paint Mustang, it sounds like that's the deal.
I mean, it could be, and I big capital C on could, because what I'm doing is I'm just eyeballing where he falls between the groups. But because his inbreeding value is so low, he is very outcrossed. So he could be two or three or four things.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the science is good, but it's not that good. Not yet. It will get
not
there.
Not for him.
But it's
not. If somebody tests like and they're related to him, will you contact me?
They can contact you. So and you can contact them. So on the ancestry, you see where it's got Find My Herd and Horses Like Me, and there's a little eye next to that?
Yeah.
You see the little eyeball? You can click on that. You can go to their page and you can even contact them if their profile is shared and it's public. You can privately message them. So let's say that they've got their tinfoil hat on. They don't want to be identified. They don't want you to know who they are. That's fair. I'm that person. So I can say that. you can still message them. You won't know who they are. They will receive a message and it's up to them as to whether or not to engage with you.
And this all happens on your website, right?
On
AdelonDX.com.
Yep.
Oh, that's very cool. I didn't know about
that
part.
You have total control. Yep. Yay. You can decide who sees your stuff and who doesn't and how they can reach you and how they can't.
So if somebody wants to contact you to get this done for their horse, I know you have a bunch of different plans. When you look at your website, they have a lot of different options. If somebody has a horse like Jamie where they're just curious, they're not a top shower, you know, it's a backyard horse or whatever, what do you recommend they get? Because you have about 20 different options on the website here.
You're right. And we're working on that because everybody wants something different, but what they really want is all the same.
Right, exactly.
They want to know everything about their horse that's entirely possible. So I always recommend the Pro Panel bundle, and that is the diagnostics and the ancestry. And here's why I recommend that. I'm not a salesperson, so sorry. That's not my deal. But ancestry is good and will connect you with your relatives and will tell you kind of what you are and where you came from. And then inevitably, but what about this? What about that? How come he sneezes? How come he walks funny? Well, that's all the individual traits. Personally, I love the ancestry and I love the inbreeding coefficient and I love to look at who I'm related to, but I'm all about the individual traits. I want to know, is my horse gaited? Is it fast? Is it funny? Is it, what color is it? What health things do it pass on? And all of that is in the traits. So it depends on the person. But if you have a backyard horse, these people are people. I mean, they have to know everything.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have a backyard horse and I'm reading all about his, I'm going to have a thunder strike here in a second. But I'm reading all about it's storming so bad right now because I'm staring at lightning.
I just heard that one.
So what's interesting to me is kind of the genetic makeup of him. But as far as like what his susceptibility to laminitis is, what his susceptibility mm-hmm. to uveitis is, that mm-hmm. H2 gene is just crazy. And we wouldn't have known that had I just done a breed search. I mean, this is all fascinating. But again, it's given me all these potential diseases that he may or may not be susceptible to.
Yes, that's exactly right. It comes down to like every little detail, from personality and health to color details. And let's face it, if you've got a mare, a lot of people want to breed their mare because they love her and they want another one. It's good to know if your animal has any lethal recessives, things that you don't want to cross with another animal, right? That's would hurt a baby. And if you've done these things, you actually also have access to the Build-A-Horse, and that will allow you to cross your horse on other horses and tell you, yes, this is fine. No, this is not fine. Don't do that.
And predict. That is it'll give you awesome. A preview. So basically when I was breeding my mare and I was looking for stallions, I just like reached out to people like, tell me about this horse. Tell me about this one. They had like foals mm-hmm. from that horse, but this would do all that work for you. It just goes, hey, that's not a good cross. That is a good cross, but even more detailed than just, I rode a horse one time by that guy, you know, like this is so much better. What I'm also seeing on this is his laminitis susceptibility risk, Glenn, is average. Like he does not. Yep. Overly susceptible to laminitis. So that means, can I take his muzzle off?
Well, you know, I don't know. Does he bite? Because in that case, no. So the laminitis is connected to the risk for equine metabolic syndrome. And the animals that have the variants, that have that particular genetic variant, they are often called easy keepers. You know, like that's a nice way of saying he likes to get fat. And yeah. If they
That'd
do
be my
get
pony.
Fat.
I need to get my pony done because that one's going to be off the chart. He's a little hackney pony that is a big chunk. He's a chunk. Yeah.
You know, I'm partial to the chunky horse. I rode my horse bareback the other day for the first time. I don't think anyone ever ridden him bareback. And I found that it was fun and it was also disappointing because he's so round. My ankles just cannot tilt to that degree to reach him.
That's round.
His legs are sticking out off the side. It was so, yeah. So there's that.
So the laminitis susceptibility, but Glenn, let's stick with the. So he's not susceptible for it, but he could possibly become a fat horse, like that kind of thing. Those are unrelated.
They can be unrelated. So think about the genetic variants will give you things that are known. In other words, we know he does not have that particular variant that will make him more susceptible to laminitis should he get fat and develop equine metabolic syndrome. But he could get laminitis from a number of other things, right? Or he could get so fat that he'd get laminitis no matter what he was. Right? You got to be careful with what you say. But think about it in terms of, okay, you and your friend are sitting on a couch next to each other during COVID, and you're binging on Netflix and potato chips. And you know that your parents both have late onset diabetes, right?
Okay.
And maybe his do not. So at the end of COVID, when both of you weigh 400 pounds from Netflix and potato chips, you have diabetes and he does not.
I gotcha.
Because you were predisposed.
Yeah.
So he's Taco Tuesday is not predisposed to laminitis, but I still need to be sure he's not Netflixing and chilling and eating potato chips.
Right. Because that's not good for any of us, right?
Yeah.
It's just in this case, you're going to be more susceptible. If he were susceptible to equine metabolic syndrome, he would be more likely to get laminitis more easily by that genetic variant. Like, okay. You know, like anything else, you could still get diabetes even if your parents didn't have it, if you really try.
By the way, I'm resembling all these remarks. So, Krista, we have to let you go. But this has been absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for doing this for us and for doing this for Jamie. We really appreciate it. And if you want to get your own test done, they go to etalondx.com. It's a very simple website to get around. And you're going to want to order the one that's the Pro Panel Plus Ancestry. That'll give you everything that we talked about today. And I hope we can do this again soon sometime.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you guys on our show.
This is
so cool. Come join us on our podcast.
Oh, yeah. We'd be happy to. What's your podcast?
We're doing it.
What's your podcast?
Oh, it's Genetics Unbridled.
Genetics Unbridled.
Oh, my gosh. I'm a new fan. This is so cool. I'm just reading about the fact that basically it sounds like my pony needs to go be an endurance pony.
I thought racehorse.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Secretariat and all. Thanks, Krista.
No worries. Thank you so much, you guys. Love it.
All right.
Krista,
bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
I am, you know, I think the thing that's most fascinating to me is, yes, he is 900 breeds. He's like the Winx of the horse world, where my dog was 9 breeds. And they did connect me with other owners. And I've messaged some of her relatives that live in England, one of them. So it's been really interesting to do that. So the fact that I could maybe connect with people who also have to learn where they got their Taco Tuesday relative from, but what's the temperament? I can't believe they can do temperament and performance and to know what he is or is not susceptible for, endocrine disorders, blood vascular disorders, all of these different things, skeletal disorders. He, by the way, Taco Tuesday may be short, but he does not have dwarfism. So there's that.
I thought that gene was interesting, though. I, you know, especially considering you thought he was much taller when you ordered him anyway.
So. And he's supposed to be taller. Dane told me he was, you know, yeah.
That's
so
right.
It's interesting that he has that sprint and endurance gene, and then he also has a curiosity vigilance gene.
Let's remind new listeners, Jamie tried endurance. It didn't go well.
No. So again, it's much like when we talked to the psychic who said he wanted to be a mounted shooter. If anybody would like to have him to do that or endurance.
Yeah. And then he's also part carriage pony, which you also love. So there's
I love that too. I try everything just for the good of the show. I've been doing it 14 years. I had to keep this entertaining.
So he's good at the three things you don't like. It's perfect. Match made in heaven.
Oh man, it sounds like this is fun. Although I will tell people he is part Andalusian.
Yeah, so, and a direct descendant of the Secretariat, apparently.
Yes. Obviously. Obviously.
You need to put that on the stall plaque. Secretariat offspring.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what's interesting is that just this whole color discussion of him has been something that Barrett and I have talked about a lot, because when he came, the show notes picture is him when he first got here and now him now. And you can see a very distinct color difference, because his winter coat, he looked like a bay and white Tobiano. But as he started to shed out, he's getting a little more buckskinny looking. And it's just really, really interesting. And so to hear that, that's actually his color genetics. I mean, it's just cool.
I'll put those in the show notes. There's two pictures. One, I guess, of the day you got him. And then the other one is of him free
yesterday.
Jumping. Yeah.
Yesterday.
And I got to tell you, he looks so much. You wouldn't even know it's the same pony.
It's crazy.
He's filled out so much. He looks terrific. He lost all that winter unhealthy fur. He looks great.
The whole thing about being curious and vigilant and engaging, he gets along with every other horse in my field, even Miles, the Andalusian, who's a big jerk. They can they totally get along fine. They're not best friends, but they get along. So he kind of like is engaging with those horses. And he is very choosy. He hasn't chosen anybody here yet.
Need to bring that little girl over. Maybe she's it.
Exactly. So hopefully he'll choose somebody. But it has been quite the journey with this pony for sure.
Now I got to get Scooter done. Because, you know, I've had Scooter for, what, almost 10 years
But he's
years
like
now.
A proper breed, right?
Yeah, I mean, which will be interesting to see, you know, because she said there's really only, what, two really pure breeds. So it'll be interesting to see what's in the background. But I'm more interested in this DNA testing, the markers that you were talking about. Because let's see what it says about that little rascal. You know, that could be interesting, too. I got to get it done. Now I'm sold. And if you guys want to get it done, please do go over there. This is not a paid commercial. We wanted to do this for Taco Tuesday, and we love having Krista on. So I didn't know they had a podcast. So that was called Genetics Unbridled. Now I got to listen to that. Add that to my podcast player.
I know. It's great.
All right. We're going to do some equestrian first world problems. But first, Cosequin ASU joint and hoof pellets contain quality ingredients to support joint and hoof health and leave out the fillers, molasses, and alfalfa, all while delivering the taste horses love. The colors of their ingredients shine through for a difference you can see. Visit CosequinEquine.com. That's CosequinEquine.com.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems.
This ought to be good.
Got to put my glasses on for this now.
Are your storms? You're okay? You're not at threat?
I'm still here. It's okay. Outside. I can't see out my window, but you know.
All right.
It is what it is. We'll figure it out.
All right. Just as long as there's no tornado heading your direction, we're good.
Well, I haven't heard the sirens, so we should be good.
Okay.
So these are the equestrian first world problems submitted by our listeners, their auditors. And every Sunday I go into the auditor of Facebook page and ask, hey, what's your problem? Yo, what's your problem? And so these are the answers by our auditors who are clearly suffering with some very big problems. Glenn, if they want to become an auditor, if you're listening and you're not, how did they do that?
Just go to horseradionetwork.com, scroll down in the middle of the page, you'll see an auditor banner, and for as little as $3 a month, you too can join.
Well, we're going to start with Ariel, my gelding moved to his new barn this weekend. But I only get to enjoy it for like a week before I leave for a week-long show. Ariel's funny. Cheryl says, our big red pasture pet keeps walking through fences. But when I walk up to the jerk, he nickers and melts my heart.
Those fence crashers, they know what they're doing too. They're just messing with us.
Allison says, we got a new horse. He's a Clydesdale. So we should get to buy all the new fun things for him that you need. But nothing fits him.
No, yeah, so nothing is going
to
fit him.
One halter and one blanket. We're going to have to fix them for all of eternity instead of replacing them. It's like we're trapped in Little House on the Prairie.
And let me tell you, everything draft horse, having owned them, costs more too. Just keep that in mind.
Oh, maybe it'll be good. You just keep fixing that blanket.
Yeah.
Holly says, I have three beautiful pastures and I have to keep one horse on a dry lot and rent out one because I have no time for more horses. Why? Because of my own beautiful, talented children who are very good at sports.
I noticed your post over the weekend, which I know took a lot for you to write.
What did I do?
You wrote over the weekend that you were hoping when you had a son, you'd have a riding buddy and it would be a horse person and all of that. And you got a mini Chad.
Yeah.
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 Likes so everything that's Chad likes.
First of all, every single left-handed fighter pilot has girls. Like every one of them. So when we were at Luke Air Force Base, Chad's a fighter pilot or was, and every one of these guys, most fighter pilots, oddly enough, are left-handed. And
is
all
Chad left-handed?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's, they all have like a pile of girls. So I just knew I was going to have a girl.
You were pretty convinced.
We were going to have braids and ponies and horse show together. And then the first time I get the ultrasound, they're like, it's a boy. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's definitely not a boy. So what happens? I have this boy and I'm like, okay, well, I'll get him a horse. And what does he do? He rides motorcycles in my pasture with his dad.
Shoots model rockets. He is really into the boy stuff. He really is.
He is a boy.
But this is why you're getting a foreign exchange student. So you finally have your girl.
I'm getting a girl, damn it.
And you only have to keep her for a year. It's perfect.
I get to just give her right back. I'm probably going to break my heart, though. It's going to be the worst.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have a tough time with that.
Melissa sent this one in. She said, I finally bought a new girth for Donnelly, the horse she bought from us. The fancy Stretch Tech shoulder relief one from Total Saddle Fit. But it's not going to be here until Wednesday, and I have to ride my stupid old one until then. Chantel says, we just got back from vacation, so I have to put my horse back on her diet where they're grazing muzzle every day, and she is not happy with me.
Yeah, Scooter's not happy either. Scooter, now, we cannot keep a muzzle on that pony. She's tried tying all kinds of contraptions to the muzzle. He just gets it off every night.
Oh my gosh, Miles has figured out just he somehow eats around it. Like he'll break a piece of twine. He's now the muzzle is like tied with twine. Oh,
so
in
yours
like eight
looks
spots.
Like a redneck muzzle now too, with all kinds of strings and straps.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, and it's the Green Guard halter too with the front thing, and and he's still. But I'm like, at least it's slowing you down, Pog.
Yeah, at least has to take an hour to get it off, right? So he's not eating for an hour. Right.
Yeah. Jennifer says, my husband wants to plan a vacation to a fancy beach resort. But like all of my vacation time is already booked with horse stuff. Sorry. Tracy says, my filly now has a handful of rides on her, so I got her a saddle instead of having to share my mare's tack. And I lunged her in and seems to fit really nicely. But I have to wait until Wednesday to ride with my trainer. Well, Wednesday is going to be a big day for y'all. I can tell. Lisa says, I have 15-ish, and no, I do not want to officially count them, 15-ish bridles. But I don't have a second one with a flat black noseband, and I have two horses that I really want to have flat black nosebands on. Why is life so cruel and unfair?
We really do have first world problems as
well. I love that my husband just walked in, and I'm like, see, I'm not the only one who's this crazy.
We really do have first world problems.
This is a big one, Clark. I get it because he said, Glitter and I had a wonderful ride in the forest yesterday morning, and I got back and I cooled her down with a nice bath. Of course, she's gray. I even shampooed her mane and tail. She really glittered in the sunlight. Then that heifer went out and rolled. Of course she did. Every one of them.
I gave Scooter a long bath over the weekend, too. Same thing. 2 seconds later.
2 seconds. Nope. Like, you can't even walk him back to the stall before they just drop. Nope. Ashley, dear Ashley, our friend, I made a new friend with four horses stabled next to a national park full of trails, and I can't ride until who knows when, because isn't she about to like pop with a baby?
Yeah, next month. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She said she will go groom on them and love on them this week, but yeah.
Yeah, she's ready too. She's, and then she's going to leave me for 3 months. I have to do all the work again.
Yeah, I know how that works. Farm boy's gone. It's heartbreaking.
That's true. We're both going to be in rough shape. And if you get surgery in there too, don't you?
We'll see.
You're putting it off again, aren't you?
Well, like, I got this injection and it feels really good now. So, like,
you know, that lasts about 6 weeks, right?
Listen, it'll be fine. I'm not ruling it out. I'm just not ruling it in. Carrie says, I ordered a beautiful, this last one, beautiful new boots from Europe. And they're going to take like 2 weeks to get here. I can't wait that long.
Everybody has tack problems right now.
A bunch of impatient heifers on this show today.
Well, that is some serious first world problems. No question about it. No question about it. Well, we went a little long with the show today. And I think with Jamie storming and everything, we're going to have to pass on an auditor post show. I have another show to get to. We actually ended up talking to Krista for a while after. She's so much fun. If she hosts her show, I can't wait to try and listen to it. Because
yeah, I'm going to listen to that one because that was interesting.
She's great. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We really appreciate it. If you want to send some weird news in for Wednesday, send it to Jamie at horseradionetwork.com. If you want to get some bad ads in for Friday, then send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Tomorrow's the American Horse Council. I'll be back on Wednesday. And then Ashley's going to be filling in for me Friday and Monday because we're going home for the first time to visit family in about 10 years. So we thought it was overdue and we probably should make a visit back to Jennifer's family. So we're going to do that. But
looking at this breakdown of Taco Tuesday, he is 6% Shetland pony. That explains a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, he's 2% fell pony. Ha ha. I got a fell pony before you did. Ha ha. 1% Clydesdale. That's insane.
There's a speed thing. Does he have big feet?
No. No, he did not. But he's 4% Andalusian. He's like Miles' cousin.
And a direct descendant of Secretariat.
And Secretariat, obviously.